It can be a thrill anywhere when two or three are gathered together in the name of God and God's people get together. But I'm convinced that it's just a little bit more of a thrill to do that in Henderson, Tennessee. We are so thankful that you are here this morning. You might want to be turning to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, from whence will come the majority of our lesson. While you're doing that, let me underscore what Brother McKenzie said earlier about how glad we're here and how much we want you to be here and to come back. We appreciate the opportunity to be associated with the students at Creed Hardeman and to have parents and grandparents and friends and family with us on a regular basis. I just wish that I had the opportunity to speak to each one of you personally. I know that's not possible, at least not probable. I feel that way when I think about all the students that are here, particularly on Wednesday night at our early service when the majority of 500 or 600 are students, and it just really bothers me that I cannot call all the students by name. But I want each of you to know that we are glad that you're here and that you have a part of this weekend. Today, the morning lesson and the evening lesson are companion lessons on a theme. This morning we'll be talking about the best is yet to be. And tonight we will pursue that a bit further by discussing the lesson Beyond the Clouds, where really the best is yet to be. Robert Browning said in Rabbi Ben Ezra, "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be." I'm rather sure that he was talking specifically about growing older in age and emphasizing that the older years can be some of the best years. But I want us to think about it in a sense of magnifying that a bit this morning, that there is a way in which all of us can grow older from wherever we are, believing that the best is yet to be. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7:8 said, "The end of a thing is better than the beginning." The end of a thing is better than the beginning. Now, if that be true, we must conclude that the best is yet to be. Because we are alive, we are living, we are working in the Lord's kingdom. We have not come to the end. And if the end is better than the beginning, then we have much toward which we can look, believing that the best is yet to be. In the book of Philippians, first reading from the third chapter, beginning at verse 12, the Apostle Paul made some statements that indicate the idea that's before us. He said, "Not as though I had already attained or arrived, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have completely arrived where I need to be. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice he addressed those things that had happened in the past, and I think he was not saying that he forgot them completely. In fact, we know he did not forget his former life completely, but he meant he forgot them in the sense of letting them be the end result, and letting them be what occupied his mind. Rather, putting them in proper focus, he then reached to the future, and he pressed toward the mark. He pressed toward the goal. Back in the first chapter at verse 6, he indicates to us an idea that somewhat sums up these that we've been expressing. Notice he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it," or will perform it, "until the day of Jesus Christ." I want us to think about that statement today in the context of this chapter. Being confident that God, who has begun a good work, will continue or will perform that good work until the day of the Lord. This weekend, homecoming weekend at Freed Hardeman University and in Henderson, Tennessee, in a sense a homecoming weekend even for us in the church, the theme has been the best of times. I agree with that theme. I believe we are living in the best of times in many ways. And yet there is more to it, and that idea needs to be expanded just a bit, as indicated in the passages that we've already read. We are certainly living in the best of times in that a good work is going on in our midst. I'm convinced of that. I do not say that to boast or brag in any way, but to suggest to you what I believe all of us who live in this area know. And those of you who visit with us see that there is a good work that is going on in this community. That good work involves the work at Fried Hardeman. I believe a good work is going on at Fried Hardeman University. It involves the work of the church here at Henderson. If I had the time, I could tell you in specifics and in detail many things that are happening that certainly would fit into the category of a good work. And when you look at individuals and know individuals and what they're doing on a daily basis, certainly this is true. I could take the time this morning and start over here on this side and just point out individuals that I see working in the Lord's kingdom on a regular basis. Ladies that are out there each day at the nursing home and in homes doing little things for people who cannot do those things for themselves. Men who are involved in various activities, many times in a rather quiet, behind-the-scene way that doesn't make the headlines nor the front page of the newspaper, but is known by the one who keeps the record that counts. Individuals involved in a good work. So many things are happening, so many things are taking place. It was 2 weeks ago this morning, as we began our fifth year of work together, that we looked at the lesson, I'm Drinking from a Saucer, in which we talked about some of the blessings that are ours that make our cups really overflow. Now, I would call that up in our thinking this morning to reemphasize this idea of how there is a good work going on in our midst. Brother Milton Sewell is with us this morning, and I just haven't been able to come to call him anything except Milton or Brother Sewell, which I think says something about the relationships that we have and the work of the church in this area. You may want to send him a sympathy card, to send one to Milton and Laurel, because they came to the early service this morning and they're at this service too. But they came because they wanted to see the people and to be involved with the people at both services. I appreciate that. I'm reminded of a little story that I've heard Brother Sewell tell a time or two about the telephones at Lipscomb and Harding and Fried Hardeman, and how that it's not long distance from Henderson, Tennessee to call God. You know, the longer I'm here, the more I think that comes a little closer to the truth, and I don't mean that to push any area or anybody down, because I know in many ways God's just as close in all the other areas where there's Christian education and where there's the work of the Lord going on. But there's just something a little bit special about this area and about the work that is being done. And as we're reminded again, as we were that Sunday night 2 weeks ago, about the cloud of witnesses, and not only those in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but those who've given their lives and have lived and died on the soil where you and I walk every day, reminds us of how that good work has begun. We have in our midst this morning Sister G.K. Wallace. I'm reminded of men like that and many other names that could be mentioned. Men who stood and taught the truth and loved young people and did what they could to help prepare people, especially to prepare young men to preach the gospel in the right way. Yes, we live in the best of times, and I believe we live in the best of areas. If we were to take the time this morning to compare what we have as blessings, and especially what we have as opportunities, with those in other parts of the world and those who've lived in other times, literally, we are living in the best of times. But folks, I believe the best is yet to be. That we can continue to grow, and we can continue to grow, to go forward in the Lord's work, and believe that the best is yet to be. Notice in this verse 6 of Philippians 1, after he had said that I'm confident that God has begun a good work in you, notice what he says. I'm confident that he will perform it. How long? Until the day of the Lord. The that he will help you to keep on keeping on until that day the Lord returns. Whether it be to call each one of us as individuals at the time of death, or whether it be to call all of those that remain on the earth at the time of his second coming. I'm convinced, Paul said, to this congregation at Philippi, which must have been one of the outstanding works at that time. I'm convinced, he said, that God has begun this good work and that he will continue to perform it until the day of the Lord. Look with me for just a few minutes right in the text of Philippians 1. I believe we can see why Paul said what he did. And I further believe that we can apply it to our own local situation. Why did he say in verse 6, I'm convinced that God's begun a good work in you and that he'll perform it unto the day of the Lord? Look first at verse 5. Notice he emphasizes your fellowship in the gospel. Now there's little doubt that Paul is talking first of all about their financial support. Fellowship many times is used in the New Testament in that way. And there is ample evidence as we look at other books, particularly 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that the people at Philippi were very supportive of Paul in his work. But does it not also suggest even more than that? Fellowship in the gospel, that unity and that oneness and that being bound together. Folks, we're living with a high degree of that in our work here. And yet the best is even yet to be. When we see congregations working together, when we see individuals interested in one another, when we especially notice the different types of people, different backgrounds that are together standing side by side, when we have two distinct institutions, the school and the church, yet interested in the same basic goal of promoting those things that are emphasized in God's Word, there is a kind of fellowship in the gospel that we have that may be just a bit different from some of those other areas where the Lord's work is being done. Fellowship in the gospel is one of the reasons we can believe the best is yet to be. Then look at verses 7 and 8. And I just want to pull a statement out of each verse. I have you in my heart, verse 7. I long after you all, verse 8. I have you in my heart, and I long after you. That's the kind of setting that is necessary, where we are partakers one with another, partakers of times of happiness and times when there are difficulties. When people can laugh together and hurt together, the best is yet to be. When we can weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, the best is yet to be. When we can see that there are differences among us and yet have the kind of attitude that we ought to have to accept those differences when they do not conflict with God's Word, then the best is yet to be. Most of you are aware that we have a tremendous number of responses on a regular basis in the services here at Henderson. A large number of those responses who come asking for prayer are the students at Freed Hardeman. I think it took me a while to understand this and to put it in proper focus. It took me a while to understand how maybe the students, some of them hurt in a special way and have special burdens that they are bearing, sometimes of which we're unaware. And then even within the among the local people within the congregation, with all the different varied backgrounds that we have, sometimes it's difficult for me to put myself in the shoes of someone else and really understand as I would like to. But I can hurt with that person when he's hurting. I can be, as Paul said, a partaker with him. I can have him in my heart. I can long after him. And I can share with him, even sometimes, though it's in a limited way, I can share with him and he with me. I believe that's one of the foundational facts that we have that makes it possible for us to say the best is yet to be. And then as he goes on in verse 9, maybe sort of enlarging upon what he said in verses 7 and 8, he says that your love may abound. Well, if it's going to abound, doesn't that suggest it's going to get even better? And if it's going to get better, then the best is yet to be. That your love may abound more and more. And he mentions two things about this love that are so important. He says this love needs to grow in knowledge and judgment. I'm persuaded he's not just emphasizing knowledge of facts there in the sense of being able to quote Scripture. but more especially that he's emphasizing an understanding of each other, knowing one another, knowing where we hurt, and knowing where the rejoicing is, and knowing where the needs are. And then he says in judgment, being careful about judging one another, to where we use an attitude where we're sensitive and we don't want to be harsh and we don't want to hurt, but to help us all to stand on the basis of God's word. That kind of love is present. And I honestly believe that we have a large degree of it, then the best is yet to be. Verse 10, he says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. And in my Bible, if I just go straight across to the next column in verse 20, he says that Christ may be magnified in you. Approve things that are excellent. That's getting the inside like the outside. In fact, he says it in another way in that same verse. He says that you may be sincere and without offense. Just being what you are, getting what the person is, not putting on a face, but just being yourself and being sincere. That's the kind of attitude that is needed, approving things that are excellent. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2. Seeking the things that are above, setting the affection on things above, Colossians 3:1-3. Being able to think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, Philippians 4:8. Minding not the things that are fleshly, but minding the things that are spiritual, Romans 8:5. And folks, I believe, and this is an opinion, but I believe we're seeing a lot of people begin to turn just a little bit back in the right direction on moral issues. The reports are that the consumption of alcoholic beverages is down a bit. The figures that we're getting now concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage sheds a little bit better light, that people maybe are thinking a little more seriously about what matters in life. And some of the statistics that we're seeing about our young people, even though there are still some problems that concern us greatly, there are some indications that people are beginning to realize that there is a more excellent way, and to turn back to that. And certainly in the setting of Henderson where we live, that ought to be the case. Notice then in the next verse, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's just plain old down-to-earth service. Denying oneself to take up the cross, Matthew 16:24, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We are all learning by experience and observation that that which makes us the most happy in life is being able to reach out and serve other people. And as we continue to learn that, then definitely the best is yet to be. In verse 14 of this chapter, he says that we may be bold to speak the word. Later on in the 27th verse, he says that we may do that which becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one of the basic reasons why I believe the best is yet to be. I don't have to guess about some of these things. Sometimes I'm on the inside, and I get to meet with our elders and with them, with others from the university, and meet with Bible teachers and to talk about what's going to be taught, what's going to be emphasized. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had elders and others within this congregation and people from the campus in my presence talk about how important it is for us to stick with the truth and teach the truth and let God's word be our guide. That's one of the reasons I believe the best is yet to be. There's not a person in this building this morning who can even imagine the influence that what takes place in Henderson, Tennessee can have on the world. For good. Look at all the young families that will be begun in this setting. Look at all the young men who will be taught and trained to preach the word of God, to develop to be an elder, to serve as a deacon. Young men and young women who will be taught and prepared to go out and step into classrooms and teach the gospel. And others who may not do some of those things specifically, who will be out there as good Christian citizens. There is no way that we can even begin to appreciate the impact of such an influence. And I believe when we are in a setting where God's word is emphasized, where we want to teach it with boldness, kindness, yes, love, yes, but with boldness and firmness and standing for the truth, that we can believe, sincerely believe, that the best is yet to be. And then after having said all these things, he seems to emphasize the idea of joy. Look at verse 25, the furtherance and joy of faith. And even if you come back to verse 5 and the verses just before that, he's talking about joy. Verse 4, request with joy. One of the reasons that we can say today the best is yet to be is that we are in a setting where we can take God's word and stand with it in a way that we can find happiness and joy in our lives, like Paul said the church at Philippi could. The best is yet to be. Most of these things, maybe all of these that we've talked about so far, have a great deal of their fulfillment in this life. But now I want you to go one step further and look at verse 23. After he's talking about living in Christ, verse 21, dying to gain in that verse, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The best is yet to be. For all the blessings that we have and all the opportunities that we have on this earth, blessings a hundredfold with persecution, Mark 10, verse 30, there's that eternal life that's yet to come. The best is yet to be. Yes, we're living in the best of times. I have no problem with that statement. But I'm convinced that the best is yet to be for those who place their faith and trust in God's word and live lives that show Jesus Christ in their lives, that more excellent way that is talked about here. If you're not a Christian, you don't have a part of that. You're a wayward child of God who's not living as God wants you to. You're not in a position to know what the best can be. But for those who will sincerely obey the gospel in being baptized for the remission of sins and then just be themselves in living good, sincere, honest, decent lives, so many things can be enjoyed in the best of times, and we can really believe that the best is yet to be. I want to go to heaven more than anything that I've ever thought about. I believe that's where the real best is yet to be. And I want you to go. If you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized into Christ this morning for the remission of sins so that you can be in Him. If you are a child of His and there's something in your life that needs to be made right, you need to do it today. If it's something that you can do that only you and God know about, take care of it in the privacy of your closet. But if it's something that's known to the church and the community and others, take care of it in a way that there can be no doubt about the sincerity of your desire to be a part of the Lord's work, and a part of that better way, that higher way, where truly the best is yet to be. If that's your need, come as together we stand and sing.